Acts 17, we see these three ecclesia, the one in Thessalonica, Berea, and in Athens. And as Brother Jim say, my topic today is a model ecclesia, an ecclesia that we can look on and draw so much example for our ecclesia, try to be like their member. But which ecclesia here would you think I'm talking about that's going to be this model ecclesia? Is it Thessalonica? I mean, Paul was traced out of town. He was feared for his life. Is it the Bereans? They were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, weren't they? Or was it those from Athens? There was a few that didn't believe and a few that did. The only thing, the one in Athens, it said they just sit around and listen to the latest news, the latest gossip. Who knows, they could have hear something else after and switch. I'm just going to do a vote. Thessalonica, Berea, or the one in Athens? Who says Thessalonica? One person? Berea. Quite a few. Athens? Two. Wow. So Berea it is. Couldn't have been Thessalonica, could it? I mean, these people are bad. They put Jason, the guy that welcomed Paul in his home, they put him in prison, and then they let him out on bail. Paul had to fear for his life. Paul even write about them. He write to them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God, his churches in Judea, which are in Christ. You suffer from your own people the same things those churches suffer from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophet and also drove us out. They displeased God and were hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from preaching to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. Wow, couldn't be them. But what does it say in verse 1? Same chapter 2. For you yourself know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. He was only there for 3 weeks. He says three Sabbath days he sat down with them, but something changed. He planted a seed, didn't he? Most of the Thessalonians didn't grasp it as first. The Jews, I'm talking, not the Gentiles. So they chased him out of town. But we have to remember, even Paul learned a lesson from this that he says in Corinthians chapter 3 that he only plants a seed as an expert, but God let it grow. God is the one that let seeds grow. We only can go out and sow it, plant it. Just like what's going on now. We have to really just encourage. But I'm talking about the church in Thessalonica. That's the one that became the model ecclesia. And out of all the ecclesias that Paul write to, he had more encouragement and faith in this ecclesia than any other one I could see. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mention you in our prayer, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love and steadfastness, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, the Thessalonians, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and the Lord. For you receive the word with much affection, with joy and the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith and love had gone forth to everyone, so that we need not say anything. That ecclesia, that young ecclesia, it survived. It became an example for everyone in Macedonia and Achaia. Everyone was talking about this ecclesia, that it might seem like a failure when Paul left, when they chased him out of town, but everyone was talking about this ecclesia. The seed sprouted. It grew. It became something beautiful. And that's the ecclesia that we need to really read and get so much example from. But what was the reason for their success? He was only there for a short time. The answer is given in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 and 8. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own life as well, because you had become so dear to us. That's the reason for their success. How Paul treated them, the relationship they had as an ecclesia, the bond. It likened it unto a mom with her own children. And trust me, that love is strong. I've seen how Kelsey look and take care of Andrea, and it's just remarkable. And that's the love they had in that ecclesia. That's the love Paul had for them. That's strength in itself. He also likened it to a father in verse 11 and 12. For you know how, like a father with his own children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in the manner worthy of God, who called you into his own kingdom and glory. Isn't it interesting how he talks about the mother's love and the affectionate they had as a believer, as a body? And then he talks about the father's love that imparts the gospel. It's really interesting. You could see that special bond there. Verse 17 to 20. But brothers and sisters, when we were separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, he was always thinking about them. He always wanted to go back. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly, I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, it is you. You are our glory and joy. We start seeing that relationship there, that bond they had in it as an ecclesia. Yes, it's important to preach the gospel. It's important to share the word of God, but as we see what made this ecclesia, the model ecclesia, is sharing our life with our brothers and sisters as well. Sharing the moments, being there for each other, talking to each other, knowing what's going on in a genuine way. Paul had missed this ecclesia so much, he wanted to go back but couldn't. So he sent someone. He sent Timothy. And because this ecclesia was so dear to Paul, he chose wisely the person he sent to visit them. Who Timothy was as a person. First Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2. Philippians 2, verse 19 to 22. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know, Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. He sent someone to encourage, to visit this ecclesia, and he chose wisely, someone that looks out for the believer even more than himself. And even when Paul was sending Timothy to the Ephesians, he reminded Timothy of the same principle, that relationship he needs to have with the brothers and the sisters, the members there. First Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mother, younger women as sister in absolute purity. It's really important, not just to share the gospel, but our lives as well. And Timothy went and came back and gave Paul this great news, encouraging news that I'm sure he must have brought down to tears when Timothy relayed the news to him. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. But Timothy has now just come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memory of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Imagine a brother and sister in our meeting that leave, and we had such good relationship that we, even though they're not present with us, we still share those memories, that bond. Brother Doug always talks about when he go to Germany and they change that meeting into English, he always talks about that in most of his exhortation. And you can see that it really touched something in him. That bond he will forever share. And I'm going to ask him a question. Brother Doug, do you remember what that exhortation was about? No. It doesn't. But he remembered the warmth. He remembered the love. He remembered feeling comfortable. He remembered feeling at home. Jesus' own words in Mark 3, 32 to 35. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brother are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God God's will is my brother and sister and mother. It's so incredible as when someone is baptized, we start calling them brother this or sister that. It's not just a title. We need to realize that it's not just a title. We're really welcoming them in this family. And Paul encouraged that it goes more than just treating them as a brother. It's about treating as mothers, as fathers, as sisters, as brothers. This ecclesia in Thessalonica can teach us so much. Do we merely just use the word brothers and sisters? Does it still have a great impact in our life? Do we look around this room at Brother Jeff right there and just say, oh, because he's a member, I'm just going to give him the title that we all do? Or do we have that genuine concern? We're going to sing hymn 16 for the closing hymn. And a verse that I really love in it, it says, brothers, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Also said, I will weep when you're weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. It's really important. Those verses, you know, it's not just a song to sing when we turn to. We really need to look into those words. When you weep, I'll weep with you. It's showing so much. It's showing that we genuinely care. We're feeling what that person is feeling. When we look at the emblem, same thing. Is it just a bread and a wine? It's so much more. It reminds us of what our brother did to show the extent of God's love, how much he loved his father, our father, that he will endure punishment and death on the cross to show his full extent of his love for his father. We really need to appreciate what he did and not just look at him as Christ, which is another title, but as a true brother that set an example that all of us can really, really look at and say, he did it. We can sacrifice the simple things, the simple trials in our life. He did it by giving up his life for his glory. So when we take this bread and drink this wine, let's just remember our brother that died, but also all of the brothers and the sisters and the mothers and the fathers in here, so that it can encourage each of us to hold on to the end. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. Says, therefore, encourage one another with these words.